WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is weighing in on President Trump's decision to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin next week, saying lasting peace is only possible with Ukraine at the negotiating table. That meeting is currently scheduled for this coming Friday in Alaska. Earlier today, Vice President J.D. Vance met with Ukrainian and other European representatives in England to discuss the future of the war. Security officials in Israel have approved Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plans to expand military operations in Gaza, but many of the families of the hostages held by Hamas are pushing back on the effort, saying it could put their loved ones at risk.
This move has no public support. The vast majority of the Israeli people want to end the war and bring everyone home.
Netanyahu's plan could potentially relocate up to 1 million Palestinians. This is ABC News. The Federal Aviation Administration wants to continue with its plans for one of the busiest airports in the country.
Earlier this year, Newark Liberty International Airport was dead last in the nation for on-time arrivals. The FAA responded by limiting arrivals and departures at Newark and is now proposing extending those limits into next year. In a notice, the FAA wants to limit arrivals and departures during construction on weekends to 28 per hour from September 1st through the rest of the year. Outside of construction times, the FAA wants a 36 per hour limit beginning in October and running through October of next year. Brian Clark, ABC News.
An historic parade in Chicago today, the 96th annual Bud Billiken Parade on the city's south side, said to be the oldest and largest African-American parade in the country. Among those in attendance, Chance the Rapper and many others, the parade is in part meant to be a back-to-school celebration marking the end of summer vacation. I'm Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Hey, Gordy, did you know Dane County Humane Society is calling on our community to help find new homes for every available animal as part of the nationwide Clear the Shelters adoption campaign running through August?
I did, John. I also heard to encourage adoptions, Dane County Humane Society will offer reduced adoption fees for a different animal group each week leading up to a special adoption finale event on Saturday, August 23rd.
Well, that's great. Animal shelters across the country, including here in Dane County, are facing unprecedented challenges with slower adoptions, high intake of strays and surrendered pets, and limited resources, shelters are working harder than ever to care for these animals.
DCHS is proud to serve thousands of animals each year, not just through adoption, but also by reuniting lost pets with their families and offering safety net programs for struggling pet guardians.
Get the details about the weekly adoption specials this month, and they'll be posted at the Dane County Humane Society website, giveshelter.org.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. Mental health experts are urging parents to prioritize their kids' mental health this back-to-school season. Judith Ruiz Branch with the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The end of summer can be filled with anxiety for some students preparing for a new academic year. Molly Shea with the Wisconsin chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness says stigma often makes it difficult to seek out assistance, but normalizing conversations about mental health can set kids up for success this school year.
For parents, it is important to have conversations with their children around mental health and mental illness so that we can start to normalize these discussions.
Nearly half of Wisconsin's female high school students report feeling sad and hopeless nearly every day, while male youth have high rates of suicide. Shea says NAMI Wisconsin's online back-to-school resources include a self-paced course designed to help parents and caregivers find out where to seek help and how to ask for assistance. She underscores the importance of early intervention and advises parents to consult their pediatrician or a school counselor if they notice their child has difficulty adjusting to new schedules. She also says intervention is necessary for unusual behavior like changes in sleeping, eating, or social habits.
When children and teens go back to school, that can bring a change in routine with new classes and new classmates and new teachers, and that environment can really impact mental health.
Dr. Nicole Brady, Chief Medical Officer for United Healthcare Student Resources, says if parents notice their children in serious distress or talking about self-harm, they should call or text the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline right away. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Find more news anytime at civicmedia.us.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs in the mid-80s. Some showers and storms by this afternoon. Showers and storms tonight, some heavy rainfall possible, lows around 68. Showers and storms for Sunday, a high around 82. Sunday night, scattered storms, some heavy rain, 67.
Currently, 78 degrees.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Monday morning, Pam Yonke returns with a report on what she did during her summer vacation.
And we'll blow the lid off why Trump was on the roof of the White House.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. Let's waste no time and introduce Matt and Aaron on air. In an article from the Wisconsin Examiner, Jane and Greg break down how much the average household will get from the tax cut in the new Wisconsin state budget. They talk about where it comes from, how it isn't the big money as claimed by some lawmakers, and how this isn't the first time this has happened, and which programs could benefit from an investment from the surplus. Check it out.
Jane says!
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy show today. It's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We have lots of guests lined up for you. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to join us after the 9:30 news. Donald Trump says it's completely regular that a convicted sex offender gets moved to club fed, essentially.
Yeah.
Minimum security prison. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Does that really happen with a lot of convicted sex offenders that they get sent to minimum security prisons? Jim Santel, who used to be a U.S. attorney and is still an acting attorney. He knows the law.
Mm-hmm.
We're lawyer adjacent. Jim will explain whether or not, of course, this just happens every day. I'm thinking no.
I truly have no idea. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to incriminate myself. Also, I just don't want to look stupid.
Just take the fifth.
Exactly.
Next hour, a little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's meteorologist. We have very hot weather coming in. We might get some rain, I guess thunderstorms a little bit later on this afternoon. And then I think it's going to be a steamy, steamy weekend. So Brittany will join us for that, a little update. And then we're going to talk about our boys. Our boys.
Oh, now everyone loves the Brewers.
Well, it's called bandwagon, baby. Yes.
Fifth sweep in a month.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It really did not seem possible at the beginning of the season.
We lost to the Yankees like 20-3 or 20-4.
Yes, those agonizing early days of the season. But what a turnaround for the Brewers.
Holy crumb.
So Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will join us after 10:30 to talk about the Brewers and what is coming up. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is what a long, strange trip it's been. Getting trippier, too.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
For that. wanted to start off with a really good piece in the Wisconsin Examiner. This is an opinion piece from Ruth Conniff, but we will include this in our show notes if you would like to read the article itself. And essentially, she's talking about how things are working in Wisconsin or not working in Wisconsin when it comes to this $4 billion budget surplus that we're sitting on. And our legislature never seems to want to do anything with that money except dole it out in tax cuts.
Correct.
There's no investing into systems that might need bolstering.
Yes, there. I mean, and it's 4.6
billion. 4.6 billion.
4.6 billion. And I think that's important to say. If it was 4.1 or it's still. It is teetering between $4.5 and $5 billion in surplus money that could be sat. It could be spent on education, on infrastructure,
investing
in small business. I mean, conservation,
water.
There is so much that can be done with this money.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, this from the article on the Wisconsin Examiner, and state lawmakers cut taxes by $1.3 billion in the new state budget. So that's a quarter of this budget surplus. Mm-hmm. This tax cut will go out to Wisconsinites who earn up to $200,000. You're going to get a tax break worth about $180.
Which...
better than a rock to the back of the head.
It's better than a rock to the back of the head. It's better than a poke with a stick. But if you think about that, $1.3 billion, if you qualify, if it all works out, you get up to an average of 180. So
right.
I'm happy with giving. I feel lucky I'm able to give that up and say, look, take that money and pay for schools. Fix the roads. Do something with this, but don't give it back to me. I mean, that pays for some subscriptions on streaming. That does some things. That pays for maybe a month of groceries.
For a two-person household, maybe.
Which we are.
Yeah.
But also, this one of the things that I remember when I hear this story, and this is nothing new, by the way. That's the point for me personally. This is nothing new.
Right.
Over a decade ago, we were sitting on a surplus. Thank you, Governor Doyle. And the Republicans decided to dole it out as a tax credit to homeowners that averaged between $13 to $75 to $100, depending on your house. Once again, free money. It's not free money, but money is nothing to shake a stick at. But
I'll take it.
It's better invested into our state, into our communities. And then years later, they did the same thing to parents where they said, we're going to give you money back, parents. And it came out about $100.
Well, and that essentially is the point of this opinion piece in the Wisconsin Examiner. Yeah, that $180, mm-hmm. that $100, that's great. But then we have to keep raising property taxes mm-hmm. in order to invest in services like water and roads and schools.
Yes.
So that $180 or that $100 that you got back from the state in the form of tax cut is now going back to the state or your municipality mm-hmm. in order to pay for services that you need.
And in Kenosha this year, they voted down a property tax increase to fund schools. It was like one of the few that didn't pass. And when the people have to say, they're going to say no, well, that's bad for our schools, even though we have people who are like, I voted yes. I don't have children. I don't have children in school.
And you were still willing to pay more.
I'm still willing to pay more because I know that our schools can benefit from that. But people, if they have the choice and they say no, then that comes down and that the community has said no, then they're up a creek and they're not going to be able to fund certain things. But meanwhile, there is a literal pile of money in Madison. And they're going to say, let's chop a fourth of that off and give it back to the people. And the overarching problem for me is that they don't care how much goes back to the people, because that homeowner's tax credit that came through was $13 to $75 per household. If you owned a home, by the way.
Right.
If you rented, you got nothing.
Yeah, that was not that. Didn't do you any good.
That doesn't matter to them. What matters is that to them is they get to say, we gave you a tax break.
We got you a tax cut.
That's all we tax cut.
Yay
tax
us.
Cut, tax cut.
Yay
we
us.
Love tax cuts. Well, I only got $13, but I gave you a tax cut. Instead of taking just
taking that $13 and putting it back into our schools.
Well, and I know that now once reelected, school superintendent Jill Underley asked for $4 billion. We talked about that extensively.
And we knew that was never going to happen.
That was a lot of money. But if they would have just committed to like $1.5 billion over 10 years and say, we're going to take half of it from the surplus and get the other half through various means of fundings. But for 10 years, we're going to give you $1.5 billion. And maybe that's not enough in that time frame. I'm just using it as I'm picking a number. That is a fantastic investment of surplus money that is doing nothing at this point. We could have used surplus money to fund the Brewers improvements that needed to happen. Governor Evers put forth a plan that came from the surplus. Republicans said no. Instead, they put together, I think, a $600 million package, which was three times more than Governor Evers' proposal. That didn't come from the surplus either. So why do we even have this money? Just go Joker style. Pour gasoline on it and set it on fire.
We're talking about an article in the Wisconsin Examiner. If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, it's an opinion piece from Ruth Conniff and talking about, again, this big budget surplus that we have here in Wisconsin, which the Republicans only ever seem to want to dole out in the form of tax cuts as opposed to investments in things like public schools and roads and water systems. I think this is a really great paragraph in here. The assumption that drives this tax cutting mania at the state and national level is that we shouldn't have to spend money toward collective public goods. We should all pay our own way, which is great if you can hire your own private security and send your kids to private schools and not have contact with the rest of society, pretty much. It is cheaper and better for all of us to support a decent society for all of us.
That was our belief. I mean, we've had that belief in some way, shape, or form since the inception of this country. Major problems notwithstanding, because we don't have time. But I'm thinking of America post World War II. We're out of World War II. Economy is booming. We want nothing more than to send our kids to school, to work a good job, get a pension, buy that house in the suburbs. We wanted to do what America told us to do.
For all of us.
For all of us. Because if you do that thing, Jane, if you and your husband and your kids do that thing, well, then you're going to create and add to the economy, and that will make us better together. Our schools will be stronger. Our businesses will grow bigger. And then somewhere in the 70s and 80s, someone said, you know what I really love? I love so much money and so much power. Jane and her husband and her kids, I don't care what happens to them. And because of that, you stop caring about your neighbors, and then they stop caring about their neighbors. And now, 70 years later, we have this mentality of, I'm not going to help you even if you were on fire.
And greed is good.
And greed,
we've really, really embraced greed is good from the 80s.
Greed isn't good, Jane. Greed is cool.
Yeah. Wisconsin Republicans were unwilling to spend $4 million. Think about this. This is 0.004% of the entire state budget, $4 million. Republicans in Wisconsin would not spend $4 million to maintain veteran services to keep military vets from becoming homeless.
To those people out there who don't like us, and trust me, I know you get on the live stream and you email us. We know you don't like us. I'm at the point now where I'm going to start telling you, you don't get to say you care about vets. Because time and time again, the Republican Party and Democrats don't do much better.
Yes.
But the Republican Party actively denies vets their benefits, their access. They deny them the honor they deserve and the services they have earned through fighting for our country or just serving for our country. It is ridiculous. It is offensive. Anytime they vote against veterans' needs or interests, I don't understand how they get to stand up with an American flag pin and go, we need to remember the troops.
Well, but again, there's a lot of lip service on, actually, I will say on both sides.
Yes, absolutely.
Not only for our veterans, but for law enforcement as well. I think they use them when it's useful.
But I think we can agree that Republicans at this point now use them more.
Well, and I think we go back to Mike Johnson and the House Republicans still refusing to put up this plaque honoring the Capitol police officers who protected our lawmakers on January 6th. That is supposed to be up by law. And Mike Johnson is refusing to do that.
Because there are people in that party who say no one died that day. Therefore, no one died because of it. And that is their, it is disgusting.
Just a regular tourist day. All right, on the way, are you looking for a job? There's openings. The only requirement, bring your own mask. All the details coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
Feeling stressed, frustrated, ready to break something? Come to Crashbox Therapy, Madison's newest therapy experience. Throw some plates, hammer a toaster, smash your stress away, and feel the relief. You worked all week? You deserve a break. Literally. Great for corporate events, holiday get-togethers, or any day ending in Y. Book your session now at CrashboxTherapy.com. 319 Beltline Highway, right next to Pitcher's Pub. Crashbox Therapy. Come let it all out safely, loudly, and guilt-free. Make your appointment at CrashboxTherapy.com.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We move on to the Todd Alba Show, where Todd begins a conversation about RFK Jr.'s cuts to mRNA research. Vaccines using mRNA saved millions of lives during the COVID-19 pandemic, and research surrounding them was promising for cancer treatment.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 22 now, past the hour, 2 o'clock. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking conservation with Casey Hicks of Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Right now, this story out of D.C., yesterday, RFK Jr. announcing that they're going to defund by $500 million, the Trump administration, the work on mRNA vaccines, which is partially credited towards, I should say largely credited, towards helping the COVID vaccine get developed in record time. Jerome Adams, father, physician, author of Crisis and Chaos, Purdue University Distinguished Professor, former IN Health Commissioner, and 20th U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, knows his stuff, tweeted this out last night. I've tried to be objective and non-alarmist in response to current HHS actions, but quite frankly, this move is going to cost lives. mRNA technology has uses that go far beyond vaccines. And the vaccine they helped develop in record time is credited with saving millions. just to make sure I'm keeping myself honest with myself and you all, the facts about 14 million people being saved, an estimate by HHS, how it relates to cancer is this. Again, for the medical community, we're fairly close to being able to effectively treat cancer with mRNA, and this will be a huge setback. To be blunt, people you care about will die of cancer because of this decision, unquote. So I'll make sure I'm clear on that, that the 14 million lives were people that were not necessarily with cancer now, but were for other causes, but they're using, again, the offshoot of the research that goes into the mRNA vaccines, and they're very close to actually being able to treat cancer with byproducts from this. And so by killing the project, undoubtedly, people with cancer in the future are going to die because this won't be available. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Wisco Paul, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. You're correct about Trump. The first COVID, they did a good job with that, or a lot more people would have died. But his president administration, especially JFK, it's for lack of other words, this is insane. My dad died of cancer, and if anything comes along other than that, well, it would have been great to cure that also. The bottom line is, for lack of other words, this is insane and people are going to die. Thanks for the heads up, Todd.
Yeah, thanks, Wisco. No, I appreciate it. And again, to clarify my own feelings on this, I think Wisco and I are on the same page. Look, I'm not a Trump fan. People that watch or listen to this show know that. But I also feel in giving people their due when they do something well, and whether you want to credit Trump or I credit the people that he had around him in his first term, which were, in my opinion, smarter than the current iteration of Trump folks in the White House. But the folks in the White House the first term were at least smart enough to say, look, let's use what we have here to develop this vaccine. I'm not letting Trump off the hook for other things. I'm just saying, hey, in that one moment, as my granddad who died of cancer was fond of saying on the farm, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. 855-752-4842. Kurt in Madison. Kurt, just a couple of minutes left. What say you?
First, I'd like to say this isn't my opinion. This is stated by professionals, including the family, that he is mentally ill. This guy is not right. And others know, everybody surrounds this guy knows he's not right in the head. Yet they're not saying anything, which makes them all the way up to Trump, complicit in the fallout from this. Second is, I guarantee that our allies and European nations are going to be working fast and furious on keeping these mRNA vaccines current. Mm-hmm. And when the next thing hits, like bird flu, and something will hit, we'll be the last in line to get whatever they have left or what they have available, because we've burned all of our bridges. So we're in severe danger, and I'm just appalled that it's not being hammered like crazy in all the networks and saying this guy's going to get us killed.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Appreciate the call. I'm glad Kurt brought up the Trump has problems mental health wise. I just want to clarify my own position as someone who has a dad who's going through dementia right now, because a lot of people say, well, he's got dementia. I'm no doctor. I'm not going to diagnose Trump or anybody else. All based on my own family experience, I just don't see Donald Trump exhibiting symptoms of dementia. I think he has other real mental health issues. I just don't think it's dementia. 855-752-4842. Let's try to get Mark from the Prairie to Sac in quickly. Mark, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I think Kurt was saying that it's RFK that's got the mental health
issues. Oh, I see.
Mental health
got
issues.
It. Okay.
And this is just horrific, because I see these St. Jude commercials all the time. And what this research do for those children, curing these children of cancer, for goodness sakes? Mm-hmm. And like, you know, has been said before, I mean, the cures that we are waiting for. But the bottom line is, these people don't even believe in, they don't believe in social distancing. They don't believe in wearing masks, even if another pandemic hits. And, you know, we're in a world of hurt there, because that's what, you know, that, saved us the last time, kept that down, is a little bit of social distancing and actually having shut down operations for a time to avoid the kind of catastrophe that awaits us is if another pandemic hits and we don't reverse this utter nonsense.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call as always. Gene and Eau Claire, hang on the line. You're coming up after we do a little business with Pam Yonke in the Midwest Farm Report, because guess what? Casey Hicks, Somers is right, is here in hour two. So we'll continue this discussion of RFK Jr., Trump, and find out what else. Trump's got a bug for late night. We'll explain after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is weighing in on President Trump's decision to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin next week, saying lasting peace is only possible with Ukraine at the negotiating table. That meeting is currently scheduled for this coming Friday in Alaska. Earlier today, Vice President J.D. Vance met with Ukrainian and other European representatives in England to discuss the future of the war. Security officials in Israel have approved Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's plans to expand military operations in Gaza, but many of the families of the hostages held by Hamas are pushing back on the effort, saying it could put their loved ones at risk.
This move has no public support. The vast majority of the Israeli people want to end the war and bring everyone home.
Netanyahu's plan could potentially relocate up to 1 million Palestinians. This is ABC News.
The Brewers host the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's the Brewers and the Mets tonight at American Family Field. Last night, the crew held on to win 3-2 thanks to an incredible throw from Blake Perkins in center field to catcher William Contreras to throw out the tying run. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Two outs in the ninth, and McNeil into center field, a base hit. Perkins throw to the plate.
The Brewers' Blake Perkins, after producing the final out.
Yeah, I was fired up, man. I mean, an exciting game, super competitive. Obviously, we have some history with these guys, and it feels incredible.
NFL, Packers host the Jets tonight in preseason football. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eddie Murphy has pretty much been an open book for most of his incredibly impressive career. He was a highly successful comedian, one of the most popular SNL actors ever, and has had a lengthy movie career packed with several blockbusters like Beverly Hills Cop and Trading Places. That did not stop him from pointing out some of the blemishes on his resume in a recent interview with Complex 360. Murphy had no problem discussing some of his clunkers, which included maybe what Murphy considers to be his biggest bomb, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. The sci-fi comedy came out in 2002 and is also one of the biggest flops of all time after bombing with critics and only making $7 million against a $100 million budget. 1998's Holy Man is also on his list and lost big bucks, but when asked about his critically panned comedy Norbit, where Murphy played several different characters, Murphy held his ground and said he loved the movie. More honesty like this, please. Love, Eddie Murphy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watch is in effect for the potential of heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and storms around. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s to 70. And still a chance of storms tomorrow. Rather muggy with highs in the low 80s. Less humidity Monday. Right now it's 73.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome creator of the show Instability, Fallon Buchholz, and Wisconsin-based comedian Trevor Kumpner joins me in the studio. Can't wait to light up a Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hello and welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Todd continues his conversation on the Todd Alba Show about RFK Jr.'s cuts to mRNA research.
Pursuing truth. Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it, and my voice will hold out. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Been spending too much time, I hate to say it, outside. And I think, well, I'm fine. This smoke, wildfire smoke isn't bothering me. I'm not like hacking up a lung or short of breath, really. But we've been doing the show outside, and I like to be outside. And it's just, I guess it's just like, it's affecting my throat. So I found
smoke.
Yeah, I found some Reishi tea, having in my CBS This Morning mug. Reishi tea, I never seen this one. It's a like rose, bud, lip, and ginger, something like that. I don't know.
I can't remember if I've had it. I've at least had similar things.
And some Gentle Breeze honey from beautiful Mount Horeb, Wisconsin.
Oh, you got to do the local honey. It's
right,
great.
Exactly. I apologize for the raspy voice. I'm gonna try, other than outside the show, not to talk too much. And then I'm going to have to stay indoors this weekend, Zomers. Maybe a little movie watching or something like that. Try to get the voice back in touch. So breaking news at this hour, by the way, speaking of our current topic here, of cancer. And what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced yesterday, Secretary of Health and Human Services, the Trump administration is going to defund mRNA vaccines by $500,000. And again, I've known too many people that have died of cancer. I've known too many people that have battled cancer and won. It doesn't discriminate. Doesn't discriminate on money, social, economic class, race. Cancer doesn't care, as they say. It affects all of us in some way, shape, or form, unfortunately. A reminder of that across the wires at this hour. By the way, somebody told me I shouldn't say that because it's an old term.
Old terms are fun.
Old terms are fun. But all seriousness, across the news desk at this hour, courtesy of CBS, Brandon Blackstock, probably a name that doesn't mean much to many people, or at least when you say the name, Brandon Blackstock, a talent manager who was the ex-husband of pop star Kelly Clarkson, has died of cancer. According to a family representative confirming to CBS News, he was only 48 years old. Quote, "It is with great sadness that we share the news that Brandon Blackstock has passed away. Brandon bravely battled cancer for more than 3 years. He passed away peacefully and was surrounded by family. We thank you for your thoughts and prayers and ask everyone to respect the family's privacy during this difficult time," unquote, according to a family statement. Clarkson postponed her Las Vegas residency for the remainder of her August studio session dates today, saying on social media that Blackstone had been ill. I guess she put that out yesterday right before he died. Pardon me. Clarkson said, "While I normally keep my personal life private, this past year my children's father has been ill, and at this moment I need to be fully present for them." The two have two children together. It's just a sad and tragic but important reminder, again, that all that money, all that prestige, all that power doesn't keep you from getting cancer. And in this case, didn't keep him alive. And again, the closer to home reminder is being in Richland Center and their great organization, Greater Elimination, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination Event, raising over $28,000 or close to it, a radio auction alone. There's going to be many more thousand dollars raised in the Richland Center area tomorrow night during the walk. And this event is unique to Richland Center, but it doesn't matter whether you're in Ashland or Green Bay, Wauwatosa, Platteville, Amory, Wausau, all these wonderful communities around the state. Somebody somewhere is raising money for cancer as a group, or when they hear their friend or family or neighbor has cancer. The woman up in Butternut with Jane and Greg and I said it best. You don't ask the stupid question, what happened? You show up with a casserole in one hand and cash in the other. That's how you do it in Wisconsin. And you help your neighbor. And all people in Wisconsin are kind of asking is, just don't hinder us. And now the Trump administration announcing they're cutting $500 million for mRNA research. According to the medical professionals that I quoted before the break, are getting very close, because that's the thing. I'm not smart enough to understand all the nuances of medical technology. I am smart enough to understand this, that oftentimes in medical research, you start going down a rabbit hole, my terms, a medical rabbit hole, and you're, oh, holy cow. Not only can we kind of use this to what we thought it would be used for, but holy smokes, look at this. We could also use this to help something else. And the something else in this case, according to medical professionals, are getting very close to treating many types of cancers with mRNA vaccine offshoot technology. And now this program is gone. And thereby, reasonable to say that millions of people will die because this program is being cut off. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Is the cut worth Planeswalkers, the RFK, a little bit of it, or is it just nonsense?
I don't know. I haven't heard it.
All right, here's RFK with part of this announcement tomorrow. I'll give you a minute or so of it. Here we go. Here's RFK.
Hi, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. here, your HHS secretary. At HHS, we have a division called the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA. BARDA drives some of our most advanced scientific research. It funds developments of vaccines, drugs, diagnostics, and other tools to fight emerging diseases and national health threats. Over the past few weeks, BARDA reviewed 22 mRNA vaccine development investments and began canceling them. Let me explain why. Most of these shots are for flu or COVID, but as the pandemic showed us, mRNA vaccines don't perform well against viruses that infect the upper respiratory tract. Here's the problem. mRNA only codes for a small part of the viral proteins, usually a single antigen. One mutation and the vaccine becomes ineffective.
All right, let's stop it there, just because actual medical professionals have already debunked and said most of what he said in this announcement is medically and factually untrue, inaccurate, or exaggerated for political purposes.
Yeah, he just used bigger words that most people might not know exactly what he's saying.
Right. Here's what our friend Stuart Stevens, former Republican like myself at the Lincoln Project, said, tweeted this out yesterday. Stuart Stevens says, quote, "At every point, Secretary Kennedy has made disastrous and destructive personal health choices. He was a drug dealer in college. He spent a large portion of his adult life shooting heroin. He shot so many steroids into his body, his voice is destroyed. His drug use has helped alienate him from his own family. His 10 siblings have called him, quote, a national threat, unquote. And now he's trying to destroy America's health. This is a sad and broken man with deep self-destructive pathology, unquote. The assessment of RFK Jr. from Stuart Stevens. Megan in Appleton, or sorry, no,
Megan here in
Megan
Madison.
In Madison says, thank you both for this topic today. It hits close to home, and I'm so worried about how many folks will suffer going forward. Cancer awareness is so important. Get your screenings. Thank you, Megan. Absolutely. I've talked about this before, particularly, like, all of us should be doing this. I've got my my annual physical scheduled for later this month. Never fun anytime, but I think particularly for guys, we get this, you know, I'm fine. Well, guess what? Sometimes we're not. And if we don't go in for annual screenings, prostate screenings, should be aware of self-examination, testicular screenings. Women, of course, self-screenings for breast cancer. Take care of yourselves. And yes, the quick follow-up. Our healthcare system is largely broken because I understand that there are many people out there that don't have insurance or who are underinsured and don't have the ability to pay or have the coverage for many of these screenings. But if you're able, make sure you get them. And for the rest of us, it's incumbent upon all of us to keep talking about it and fighting for it. Because at the end of the day, prevention is always cheaper and better than treatment. And going down that whole rabbit hole. Mark in Prairie du Sac says, take it from me, cancer sucks, and this research could well save lives. It might even provide cures for such diseases as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, even the common cold, maybe even multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy. Absolutely have to be aware, folks. And I just think it's a good to, and I realize it's a pretty serious way to start out the show today, but sometimes it's necessary to be aware. And a lot of times when we go to the voting booth, we think, oh, there's all these commercials. Who do we know? How do we know what's really true and what's not true? I don't know. But I think this is one where hopefully, unfortunately, we can all agree because either we or a direct family member or a friend or somebody in our friend group or family group has been touched by cancer. And most of us took the COVID vaccine and nor continue to take it. We know this stuff works. And we know that when you cut the funding by $500 million, it ain't going to end well. And I hope people keep these types of provable things in their mind as we continue with politics and when we go to the voting booth. 47 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. On the lighter side, but yet not. From latenighter.com, President Trump again took aim at the 11:35 late night lineup on Wednesday night using a Q&A with the White House press corps mocking Stephen Colbert's cancellation and to signal that he does not expect Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon to stick around much longer. Trump's comments came in response to a question from Brian Glenn of the right-wing news outlet Real America's Voice, referencing the late show's cancellation and rumors that Howard Stern is leaving SiriusXM. Glenn asked the president whether the, quote, hate Trump business model, unquote, in entertainment was collapsing. Going to come back and let you hear it in Trump's own words and discuss it a bit. Because, again, it's goofy in one way, but it's also serious in another. By the way, we've talked about this, Paramount Plus Global. Paramount are the parent company of CBS News. The deal closed earlier today. They are now owned by Skydance. Thanks to that little $16 million paid to Donald Trump. Back with more after this. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. With sinking approval ratings and the 2026 midterms looming, President Donald Trump asked Texas legislators to further gerrymander congressional maps and preserve a GOP advantage in the U.S. House. Sinking to the challenge, Democratic states are threatening to cheat in their states, too. States rarely redistrict mid-decade. Trump's unfavorable ratings reached 56% in a July 28th Economist YouGov poll, and with only a 219 to 212 GOP advantage in the U.S. House, Trump asked the Texas legislature for help. The GOP already has 25 of the state's 38 U.S. House seats, but July 30th, the legislature unveiled a map targeting Democratic districts in Austin, Dallas, Houston, and South Texas to gain an extra 5 GOP seats, according to the Texas Tribune. Ohio, another GOP-dominated state, is also redistricting, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis suggested his state's congressional map may have, quote, defects that need to be remedied. Leaders in blue states, including California, Illinois, Maryland, and New York, have threatened to counteract gerrymandered GOP gains. While California Governor Gavin Newsom threatened, his state uses a constitutionally protected independent redistricting commission, as do 6 other blue states, making it harder to game the system. We have all our Redistricting Week reports at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 174-year-old Wisconsin State Fair is underway and is a finalist for USA Today's 10 Best list. Could it be the Cream Puffs? Here's Christy Chuckle with the fair.
The Cream Puff was created to showcase the dairy industry in Wisconsin.
The story of Cream Puffs never gets old, and now renovations of the former Cream Puff Pavilion, renamed the Dairy Building, will show off a new kitchen and more.
Watch them being made right there, right before you buy them. That's why they're so delicious.
The bakers known as Team Cream Puff will be able to crank out more than 400,000 during the fair. They're even adding chocolate cream puffs for the first time. And it turns out there's a secret to eating them.
Just twist, open it. It doesn't necessarily squish all over, but some people just like to go for it.
So go for it and enjoy the tasty history of the state fair. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We move on to the last segment of this hour on the Civic Media Spotlight, where we meet John and Gordy in the morning. In this segment, John and Gordy talk with Mike McCabe, author of Miracles Across County Q, as well as an executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about farmers losing their labor force because of immigration due to the ag bill. They mention how many farmers are filing for bankruptcy and the reasons behind the madness.
Gotta get on that good foot one of these days.
Yep. Good foot.
WMDX, it's John and Gordy in the morning and a beautiful day in Madison, the capital city, a block away from the Capitol on State Street. Visit us sometimes if you can.
It's hazy out there today, highs in the mid-80s, 752. Back for a few more minutes here with Mike McCabe.
We've got a text here from Megan in Sun Prairie. Boomers may have made some wonderful changes to the world, but they also pulled the ladder up behind them. That's the issue. Newer generations can't get a word in edgewise, and they've lost all hope. And being able to do so. And, you know, I see that all the time, and we're hearing about that all the time, that, you know, they did, many pulled up that ladder behind them, and generations now are having a very difficult time buying homes, getting cars, being able to afford, you know, an apartment.
Getting a steady job.
It's beyond them.
Yeah.
Even a steady job.
Right.
It's the gig economy
now. No question, the boomers brought about a lot of social change, a lot of social equality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't do so well on economic equality. And I guess I wouldn't say that the boomers all pulled the ladder up behind them.
Right.
But mm-hmm. they allowed the ladder to be pulled up behind them. Yeah. You know, a few at the very top did the pulling.
Yeah.
The billionaire class. They did the pulling. But the baby boom generation didn't do a good enough job of preventing that. And so economic equality was not one among the boomers' great achievements. And now we have really grotesque economic inequality in this country.
That's right. You talked about Adam Smith, the invisible hand of capitalism. Why?
Yeah, that invisible hand keeps giving us all the finger.
Yes, it does. Mm. And in relation to the ag bill that is kind of in limbo forever at this point, no one's bringing it up. I'm surprised that farmers throughout the country aren't angry and bitter about this. I mean, they're losing their labor force because of immigration, and now the ag bill is completely invisible to this administration.
They're a little
not talking about it at all.
They're a little distracted while they're filing bankruptcy.
Yeah.
People probably haven't heard, but there has been a recent spike in farm bankruptcies in this country, a pretty dramatic percentage increase. Wow. And that's on top of what happened over the past several decades, where 4 million farmers were put out of business by changing U.S. agriculture policy. Four million farmers were put out of business.
Yeah, we always talk about the 500 farms that were going out of business
in
Wisconsin.
The thing that aggravates me, coming from a farming background, is that so often people say, well, farmers just weren't farming smart enough, or they couldn't compete, or they kind of blamed the farmers, when in fact it was really savage policy that put them out of business. And I write about the contrast between the U.S. farm economy and the Canadian farm economy.
Yeah.
In Canada, farm bankruptcies are so rare that they don't even measure them anymore, because they don't even have an ongoing statistic for them, because they are so exceedingly rare. And here it's something of an epidemic. And it's because they have a sensible supply management system that we used to have that kept our farm economy stable and kept those 4 million farmers in business.
Why did that go away?
Yeah, why?
Because big agribusiness wanted it to go away. They wanted fewer farmers who were operating on a much bigger scale, who were dependent on them for seed, for chemical fertilizers, for chemical pesticides. And they also wanted a glut. They wanted to subsidize overproduction. So we went from modulating the food supply to keep farmers in business and keep prices reasonable for consumers. Mm-hmm. That's what Canada does to this day.
Yes.
We went to a system that still subsidizes. They marketed it as, let's wean farmers from government assistance. Let's wean them from subsidies. Farming is as heavily subsidized today as it ever has been, but that now they subsidize overproduction because they wanted a glut of corn and soybeans so that they could then turn to turning some of that into things like fuel and sweeteners,
mm-hmm. yes.
high fructose corn syrup, right?
Thank you, Boomer. Thanks for that.
They consciously wanted that glut, and they also wanted that glut so they could dump cheap food on foreign markets and commandeer their farm economies.
Yeah.
And they put foreign countries' farm economies on ice and put a whole bunch of people out of business there so that they could take over those markets and become supermarket to the world.
Well, I have to interject
here. That was conscious policy.
I'm wondering exactly what the tariff policies are doing as far as, our commodities going over there tariff-free. Are we going to disrupt their markets?
We've been disrupting their markets.
Even more so.
Yeah.
They were protecting their markets. Right. I don't know if those protections have gone down or been taken away through the EU agreement that they have for tariffs. I don't know that. I can't believe that no one's writing about that.
Right.
Because every market has to protect their farmers, their economies, and they rely on them.
Yeah,
we can't let down. I mean, we can't let them down.
We can't flood
their market.
In public policy, we let the Monsantos of the world, the ADMs, the Cargills, we let them dictate agricultural policy.
Yeah.
And we're now reaping that harvest.
Yeah.
And it's a bitter harvest because we've got 4 million farmers who've been put out of business. We still are seeing a surge in farm bankruptcies to this day. Mm. And we had a system that yielded an abundance of wholesome food at reasonable prices and kept farmers in business, and we abandoned that system.
Right. Those days are gone. Oh, boy.
But they could come back because they're there in Canada today.
They are.
And yep. Farm suicides are almost non-existent there, and it's a big problem here.
Mike McKay, we got to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Stephanie Miller is coming up next.
It's a problem everybody's ignoring,
yeah.
And we shouldn't. We should focus on this.
Just look north.
Yes. There we go. On our next show tomorrow, we'll welcome back Tim Slecker talking about education. Also, Jim Sandell with some attorney advice for us.
Legal stuff.
Legal stuff. It's all coming up tomorrow. We hope you have a great day. So long. As we were
saying. The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Vice President J.D. Vance was in the U.K. today meeting with European and Ukrainian officials to discuss Russia's war in Ukraine. A meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin is set for this Friday. Israeli leaders have approved a plan to expand military operations and fully occupy Gaza, but the families of hostages held by Hamas are calling the move a death sentence for their loved ones.
If you invade parts of Gaza and the hostages are murdered, we will pursue you in the town squares, in election campaigns, and at every time and place.
Israel says the move is crucial to bringing the war to an end. Severe weather is impacting much of the western half of the country. ABC News meteorologist Jeff Banson.
Fire weather danger from parts of southern Wyoming down to Colorado and Utah. Careful with any kind of open flames, especially with how dry the air is, how gusty some of the winds could be.
This is ABC News.